Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Back in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia, Bills, Jets, week one, a game you can hear on ESPN Rochester with pregame starting at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. We have Marcel Louis-Jacques, ESPN.com, joining us now in the sports bar for his weekly visit. Marcel, you have access to a world of knowledge, stats, analytics, a whole army of workers there at ESPN compiling data. And you say, you were telling me off air that you've found some interesting statistics that you would like to share?
Yeah, so this is, and I guess Bills fans and readers, they'll learn about me. That's like my wheelhouse, is telling the numbers story. And based on last year, Josh Allen was one of, if not, you know, I don't think it's a stretch to say the worst quarterback when operating outside of the pocket. 29% completion percentage, four interceptions to one touchdown, a QBR of 7.33. The only QBR worse than Josh's last year was Ryan Tannehill's 0.8. So a pretty, you know, low bar, and possibly low bar to beat, but still low. And the relevance there, you know, don't want to focus too much on old stuff, but the relevance here is he's facing a defense led by a coordinator in Greg Williams, whose defense is routinely ranked in the top five in the NFL in terms of blitz percentage. So in theory, going against a Greg Williams defense is going to force Allen outside of the pocket repeatedly throughout Sunday's game, which last year, as the numbers say, was his just absolute worst. And I think it's going to be really telling. Obviously, it's the first time we get to see this offense play together, but I think it's going to be really telling as to how much he's taken this new philosophy to heart of not, you know, not relying on his scrambling ability, not trying to do too much with the play, when to, you know, when to throw the ball out of bounds, when to take your checkdowns, when to get the ball out quickly versus hang on and let a route develop. I think this is going to be it's going to be tricky. It's going to be a challenge, but you can't really ask for a better benchmark to see, you know, where you are in, where he is in this development and in this regard. And I was just, you know, I was clicking around the numbers and noticed that, like, man, that's kind of alarming going into week one against a team like Greg, a defense like the Jets and Greg Williams.
Yeah, that's very interesting and something to be concerned with. And if Josh Allen is learning to check it down, well, one of his checkdowns they let go, and he's in Kansas City right now. I can't imagine Frank Gore being who would be the main checkdown if Greg Williams decides to get all blitz happy coming up Sunday, Marcel.
I think as far as keeping guy in the backfield, Devin Singletary, it could end up being kind of an overwhelming matchup for him, because he's going to have to learn to find that soft spot between engaging with a blitzer and then filling the soft spot as a safety net for Allen. I'd look at Cole Beasley. I think he might be option number one. If they're sending pressure, I think he's probably option number one in that he can get open very quickly, and he's going to be playing in the slot. You know, there's not a Bills nickel corner right now. Their corners in general are pretty decimated. So I think if Josh is staying in the pocket, option number one, read number one's got to be Beasley. If he's rolling outside, I would I'd expect either Tommy Sweeney, Dawson Knox to provide a pretty large target. That's kind of what that's what tight ends, that's what they're for, situations like this. But, you know, it'll likely prevent the number of downfield shots the Bills can take Sunday. if Allen doesn't have enough time to let a route develop as blitzes are coming, then you know, there's not going to be that long ball to John Brown. But on the other hand, if the Jets are sending guys in, then that's leaving that's leaving areas of the field vacated, and I think that's where they're going to stress the quick passing game, is to kind of make them pay for voiding us out of the field.
Marcel, I want to point out what I feel might be a deficiency on the Bills' defense here in a second, but because we brought up LeSean McCoy, hey, you're around these guys, you're in the locker room. I'm curious as to how this team reacted, a team that the Bills pride themselves on building culture and positivity, and these are, you know, blue-collar guys, work hard, football guys. Hey, the guy that was a captain on this team last year was unceremoniously released on cutdown days, a surprise, I think, for many players. How have the Bills, as players, been reacting to the release of LeSean McCoy so far?
Well, you know, publicly, there's not a lot of, there isn't a lot of anger, a lot of disappointment. And privately, it's left something to be desired or something lacking in both the locker room and in the huddle. LeSean McCoy, I mean, regardless of what you think about him off the field, he was a vocal part of this team. And that locker room right now, it's a little quieter now. Obviously, there are far fewer players in it than there were during the preseason. But even Cole Beasley told Matt Parrino yesterday or the other day that you get in the huddle and you don't have that presence anymore. You don't have that guy. And I think it'll take some getting used to for Buffalo. I don't know if it hurts their ceiling as a team overall. I think they can still succeed, but you know, it's best to get that out the way now, early in the season, and you're starting from a kind of a new slate of building, you know, a culture post Shady.
Marcel, our first conversation since cutdown day, did any of those cuts surprise you at all?
McCoy was a surprise. I'm not. It makes sense. Don't get me wrong. I don't think it was a total shock, or I guess I should say it was a shock more than it was a surprise. And that, like, oh wow, this is a big name, you know, hitting the open market. Duke Williams as well, I thought was a little surprising. He'd really come along in practices toward the latter part of training camp and the preseason, after really not showing much early on. And he was showing up on game day, and regardless of if that's against the twos, threes, fours, he's doing what he's expected to do. And, you know, you can't fault a guy for that. Other than that, Lafayette Fitz was interesting, leaves them with only three outside corners. Captain Munnerlyn, I thought, was a major surprise. But those two, I think the decision to cut Duke and the decision to cut Captain, I think that factored into them keeping, that was a direct result of the Bills keeping 10 offensive linemen and five tight ends. I know it's, and Brandon Bean said it the other day, it's technically four since Kroon was immediately placed on IR, but still, I don't personally think Kroon did enough this offseason to warrant even that IR spot. It was a little surprising, but obviously, you know, he's been around the franchise for a bit. They liked his potential. They liked what they saw from him when he was healthy. He wasn't healthy. And this hand injury came out of left field. He had just come back from a hamstring. He plays a game, and then all of a sudden, he got a hand injury bad enough to go on a six-week IR.
Marcel, can I just say this? And we brought this up on the show. I mean, are we allowed to think that who he's dating played a role in that?
No, I think it's unfair, and I've tried not to respond to those suggestions that I've seen on Twitter, but ultimately this is a business. The Pegulas are quite rich. I think if they wanted their daughter's boyfriend around. It didn't have to be in a football capacity. They can afford to keep him around. They can afford to, you know, for her to go visit him wherever she needs to go. I don't know. I don't want to talk about their relationship, but I'm fairly confident that it didn't have, you know, it didn't have any impact on the decision to keep her.
Marcel, on the defensive side of the ball, we talk about, you know, something that the Jets might be able to exploit on the defense in terms of getting Allen outside of the pocket. What makes me nervous about the Bills' defense going into week one here against the Jets is we haven't seen Le'Veon Bell since he was in Pittsburgh. We know that Le'Veon Bell, I don't know if you've heard this, Marcel, Le'Veon Bell's a patient runner. We've heard that about him for a while. He's a patient runner. You know what? Tremaine Edmonds' knock as a rookie was a lot of times he would over-pursue. I'm nervous about what Tremaine Edmonds versus Le'Veon Bell looks like on Sunday. What are your thoughts on the Bills' second-level defense, the linebackers, and how they're going to react to, I would imagine, a fair amount of Le'Veon Bell, not just as a runner, but as a pass catcher out of the backfield?
I think that they're practicing against a guy like Frank Gore, who's a patient runner himself, and an elusive guy like Devin Singletary. It's kind of a, you know, by their powers combined, there's some sort of Le'Veon Bell type mold. And just another year in the league, another year of the speed of learning of film. I wouldn't expect to see many of the same mistakes from Edmonds, not this season. But yeah, you are absolutely right in Le'Veon Bell's patience as a runner. It's almost it's like watching a ballet, man. Like it's smooth. It's so decisive once he hits the hole. I really love watching Le'Veon Bell run the football. But hopefully this Bills defense doesn't get caught doing the same thing, because he is a guy who can turn the tide of a matchup. He can win a game himself. That said, you know, he might have lit Buffalo up when he was with Pittsburgh, but it's a far worse offensive line. It's a far worse supporting cast, and he hasn't played in a year. So I wouldn't expect anything ridiculous. He is an elite talent, but I don't think, at least not in this matchup, and maybe in week 17, but I wouldn't expect, you know, video game kind of numbers for him, as long as, you know, Buffalo does what it's supposed to do.
Marcel Louis-Jacques, our guest here in the sports bar, as today the press conference with Sean McDermott. And McDermott today, Marcel, did not commit to keeping Cody Ford at right tackle. John Felicio Guard, it may turn out that way. I mean, is McDermott really keeping his options open here, so to speak? Or was this more along the lines of coach speak? I don't need to tell the Jets anything they don't need to know.
It could be a little bit of coach speak. That is pretty on brand for Sean McDermott. But we are at the point in the season where, coaches and teams, they're not going to get cute during practice. This isn't really a time to experiment and shift players around like maybe training camp and the preseason are. You got a game on Sunday that counts for real. So if these are the five that you're rolling out at practice, that's probably going to be the five that you're rolling out on Sunday. And it's still, so while it may not make sense to the rest of the world outside the organization, from what they're seeing every day, if they believe Cody Ford is their best right tackle with Nseki kind of playing that swing tackle on either side of the ball, then that's probably what they're going to go with come today. And it's not something that I understand, but then again, they see a lot more of these guys and they see a lot more of these formations and these matchups than I do, than anyone else on the beat does, and more than what fans see as well. So I think from a fan's perspective, kind of got to give the coaches and this front office and coaching staff the benefit of the doubt, just because, you know, they're around it a lot more than anyone else. They can probably figure out, and they're better at figuring out what fits than the rest of us are.
I hear what you're saying, Marcel, but at the same time, this is the same coaching staff that a year ago thought, starting Nathan Peterman against Baltimore would be a good idea. Week one, week two last season couldn't have been any worse for the Buffalo Bills. They were able to turn it around with that upset in Minnesota. But, you know, if this team, you know, is arrogant to think that you know, releasing LeSean McCoy or mixing it up on the offensive line the week before week one doesn't affect them in week one. If they come out and they come out of the gate stumbling against the Jets, and God, I don't think this is going to happen, but if the Jets were to just punish the Bills and we see a lopsided loss for the Buffalo Bills, I mean, you know, how much heat is going to be on Sean McDermott after just 1 week of this season?
After just 1 week, I don't think the burners are turning up on the seat or anything. The Jets, that is, it's a team with a similar trajectory as Buffalo right now, and it's a team that, you know, when you're looking at the AFC East opponents, they're probably the most likely to split a series with. So especially in New York, I don't think it would be the biggest shock in the world if the Jets won the game. But at the same time, it's got to improve from there, because this is something that, you know, we've talked about several times when I come on the show. The Bills have to get out to a good start to the season. There's just no other way about it. These first eight games, there's six of them where on paper you say Buffalo should win this game. You know, the only ones that are so-so are home against New England and home against Philadelphia. The rest of them, you know, with the brutal end of the season that they have, you have to win games. You have to be able to win these games. And so now I can see the pressure of and the enticement, I guess, of tinkering with your offensive line to make sure it's optimized. But you got to find that optimal five, and you really got to find it right away. And, you know, a loss to the Jets is one thing. Losing to the Giants in week two, losing to the Bengals in week three, all of a sudden, you know, the key goes in. The key goes in the case of that panic button on the dashboard. I'm not saying you turn it, you're not lifting the glass either, but the key goes in the slot if you start the season out 0-3.
It all starts real coming up Sunday. Bills and Jets on ESPN Rochester. Marcel Louis-Jacques, ESPN.com, Bills reporter, our guest. Andre Roberts showed up on the injury report. Marcel, what do we know about that? And if he can't go, well, who's the returner coming up Sunday?
Yeah, that was a surprise as well. He was, I mean, a full go during Monday's practice, but he was seen, you know, limping off the team, limping into the locker room after today's go. But if he can't return, then you're going to have to look at a guy like maybe Isaiah McKenzie back there. You're going to have to look at, I've seen Devin Singletary's name floated around the internet. I don't think it's a smart idea to play it that, you know, fast and loose with one of your main running backs. But I wouldn't be shocked to see McKenzie back there returning. But this would be a good time to have a guy like Ray McLeod on roster in theory, because I mean, he's going in to Carolina right now and he's slotted in as their starting returner right off the bat. But by all means, so far Roberts is day to day. We'll see where they're at. We'll see what he's at tomorrow before anybody needs to start worrying. But I would expect Isaiah McKenzie to slide in if Roberts can go.
Marcel, we know we can expect some great game day coverage from you at ESPN.com. What can our listeners expect here leading up to week one on Sunday?
Well, finally, the preseason season for it seems like weeks now. But it's a long form about Josh Allen's relationship with Sam Darnold. But beyond just their relationship, how it was built on an alternative view of the meaning of competition. And I got to talk to Josh about it. Rich to me over in New York, got Sam's perspective. I spoke with the quarterback coach. I think it really offers some insight and just a different perspective on how athletes compete. And now, you know, there's just too few of them in the world. There's too few people in the world who can do what they do to waste relationships on bitter rivalries. So that's coming up. I believe it's coming out on Saturday. I'll have something else a little deeper little deeper look into Josh Allen's, on what happens when the play breaks down from his standpoint, from a lineman standpoint, from a receiver standpoint, and shooting for Friday for that one. So I got some decent content, got some good content coming out for y'all. Feel like you're going to enjoy it, especially the Josh piece. I'm happy with the way it turned out, and looking forward to hearing everybody's feedback.
Marcel, looking forward to reading that. Looking forward to Sunday. We always appreciate your time, Marcel. Keep up the great work, my friend.
Appreciate it. Always a pleasure, man. Thanks. Some real football coming up.
Yeah, right.
Love it, Marcel. Thank you so much. Marcel Louis-Jacques, covering the Buffalo Bills for ESPN.com, ESPN NFL Nation beat reporter for the Buffalo Bills. And if you missed that or if you came in late, we'll get it for you on demand shortly here at ESPNRochester.com.
The Andre Roberts injury, if he cannot go. I just have this vision of Isaiah McKenzie fumbling away a game, essentially, at Houston. And he's right about Singletary. I don't want to overload the kid and make him the returner this
week. By the
way,
Ray put the ball on the ground, too. I mean, like, neither option is not one option is better. Neither of them are ideal. You brought in Roberts to be the guy, to be the dude for special teams. This special teams unit was terrible last year. Terrible. Cost a guy his job. Crossman's out. You revamp, you bring in Roberts, you extend Hauschka. I don't know if they got punter figured out, but
it's funny. When we talked to Dan Leberfeld, the Jets let go their kicker. They don't believe in paying kickers. Yet Hauschka, who last year was 28th in field goal percentage. Hey, you know what? Here you go.
Here's your extension.
New 2-year extension. What?
Congratulations on your mediocrity. We've got the day's top NFL stories coming up next in bite-sized form. We call it appetizers here in the Sports Bar. It's brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years online at alexsribs.com. Some players getting paid.
Jim. Yeah, we woke up this morning to the news that they finally got the deal, Ezekiel Elliott. We'll break down the numbers. What does it exactly mean? Try to translate for you. We'll talk about the Falcons and Julio Jones. Could he be the next one that's coming up? And, we also have more hot kicker talk.
Hot kicker talk.
Because, oh my gosh, there's a kicker you might have drafted that is going on the IR. You better get on your waiver wire.
Hot kicker talk on the way. You're in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia. Stand by for NFL appetizers on AM 950, 95.7 FM, and the radio.com app.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis, and opinion, we've got you covered. Plus, on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com, the online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The Sports Leader, ESPN Rochester.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.